Croydon's black history stretches back to 1502, when Catherine of Aragon and her household, including two formerly enslaved North African women, came to live at the Archbishop's Palace by the Minster. They all returned in 1509 with Henry VIII on a visit heralded by black trumpeter John Blank. A century later, in 1605, Charles Lee of Addington attempted to found a plantation colony in British Guyana. The enslaved black people in the Minster records in the 18th century include the burial of Judith Timothy in 1722 and the baptisms of John Baker in 1756 and in 1765 Charles, enslaved by the Vicar of Croydon's brother. Three black people in the records include Richard Hodges, baptised in 1779, and two burials, Thomas Chance in 1773 and Margaret D'Andro in 1780. There were four vicars of Croydon and at least five curates whose families had links to African chattel enslavement. And in the 114 years between 1765 and 1879, there were only 23 years when there wasn't a vicar of Croydon with links to African chattel enslavement. Rev East Apthorpe grew up in Boston, Massachusetts, in a household with five enslaved servants, and his family were involved in just about every aspect of the transatlantic trade. From the 1700s onwards, Croydon had a large community of lay people involved in African chattel enslavement, baptised, married and buried at Croydon Minster, part of the life and finances of the church. Among them were bankers, plantation owners, insurers, army, navy and colonial officials, politicians, ship owners, traders and enslaved people and the goods they produced. They were involved in the Royal Africa Company, the South Sea Company and the West India Dock Company, as well as the East India Company and the Bank of England. One of them, Alexander Calkey, was a ship owner who transported 3,767 captive Africans across the Atlantic, 382 of whom died during the journey. Two of these voyages were in his ship named the Croydon. There was an inscription placed on the exterior wall of the old church, which said this chancel was repaired and beautified by Alexander Calkey, Esquire, in the year 1808. Most of Croydon Minster's memorials to enslavers were destroyed when the church burnt down in 1867. Records show that 19% of the donations to the Restoration Fund came from people with links to African chattel enslavement. Although the biggest donations given were by those involved in African chattel enslavement were given by bankers and wealthy landowners like the Smith family of Selsdon, many of the smaller donations came from professionals, such as GPs, dentists, lawyers and architects. There has been a lot of research into the very wealthy, but this suggests we also need to pay attention to the involvement of the professional classes in African chattel enslavement. This is particularly relevant to the Church of England, where they often led the way in founding and funding new churches and growing towns and cities in the 18th and 19th centuries. Researching this list of donors also revealed that the involvement of the Church of England, our enslavers, their heirs and crucially their money, did not end with emancipation in 1834. Not least because British businessmen, such as Croydon bankers the Barings and Charles Goschen, continued to invest in African chattel enslavement after 1834. This research may make Croydon look like an outlier with an unusually high concentration of enslavers. During my research, though, I have found that this network of enslavers continues beyond Croydon's borders. Croydon is typical of much of the Southwark diocese in the 18th century. Countryside within easy reach of London, attracting wealthy people seeking a retreat from London. Therefore, it is likely that many other churches in the diocese have similar links to African chattel enslavement, even if they were built after emancipation in 1834. Overall, my research has made clear that between the beginning of the 17th century and the middle of the 19th century, there were certainly tens, more likely hundreds of thousands of black Africans enslaved and exploited by people linked to Croydon Minster and their families. As the profits flowed into the borough, the Minster and our daughter churches, we cannot disentangle the very stones of the church and the sacred space they contain from African chattel enslavement. The enslavers are remembered in the Minster records and monuments. We know their names. However, only a few of the people enslaved are known to us by name. How do we find ways to remember them? How do we acknowledge the truth that their presence in and contribution to this sacred space was forced and exploitative?